God. And I trust you realize that the majority of what I have been sharing in this Serious Servants Institute has been none other than just scriptures of God's Word showing us, hallelujah, what God wants to do in our lives and how God wants to change our lives and how we then can become a blessing to others. Oh, hallelujah. Don't you want to be a blessing? I mean, count your blessings. We've all been blessed by God and God's mercy, God's grace. But don't you want to be a blessing? Hallelujah. Oh, don't tell me you're just one of these ones that you just want blessings. You never want to give any. Oh, you're not going to enjoy this tonight. Praise the Lord. Serious Servants Institute again tonight. Praise the Lord. Appreciate our musicians, our singers. I appreciate our saints that sing. Now, did that cover everybody? Because if it didn't, you need to change something. Hallelujah. Because when he saves you, he puts a new song in your heart. Hallelujah. He didn't say it was a melodious thing. He just said he put a new song in your heart. Makes you want to sing. Why? That's that rejoicing. That's that happiness. Hallelujah. Being a child of God. So Serious Servants Institute tonight, we're going to be teaching, preaching, talking, and persuading on the Servant's Heart number 2. Servant's Heart number 2. We used Brother Hill's material last week. Now this material is just coming from me and the Lord in my office. Praise the Lord. And so I haven't changed that yet. Let's go to Pup 2 and 5. Philippians 2 and 5. I'm going to change that when I get back to my office tonight after church. Philippians 2 and 5 says, let this mind be in you. What other mind would you want? Don't you want the mind of Christ? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm all excited. I was just going to preach tonight. Praise the Lord. All right. Brother Titus, would you come get the ink pens, or is that what? No, Timmy's going. Okay. Nope, he's after the ink pens. He's just after one. No, share, Brother Titus or Timothy. Share with everybody, not just you. I'm all shook up. Praise the Lord. Well, that's better than falling down. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So Philippians 2 and 5. Of course, this part is not, you don't have to fill it in, so I'll go ahead and read it. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself of no reputation. In other words, he wasn't trying to prove anything, wasn't trying to say, here am I, listen to me. He wasn't trying to be the greatest. He wasn't trying to be the greatest, but yet he was the greatest. And took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. See, Jesus Christ came into this world because this world had a desperate need and a devastating problem. The problem was sin. And there was no antidote for it. There was no remedy for it. And God was merciful throughout ages, thousands of years. And he gave them ways of offerings to sacrifice and to worship God. But the whole time, the plan that had been set in motion from the Garden of Eden till the coming of Christ had been making its way, had been moving until Christ, God, became man. And not only did God become man, then he died for the sins of the world. I mean, it's an awesome thing and a great thing that Jesus Christ would become human. But then it wasn't just because he became human. He became human for the purpose and the reasoning so that human beings could know there was a Savior. And human beings could know there was a remedy. human. He was tempted in all points as you and I, yet without sin. He suffered pain. He suffered anguish. He suffered heartache. He suffered anything that you think you're suffering. Jesus Christ has suffered in the same way. I don't know if you ever think about that. In the midst sometimes of our suffering and our sorrow, Jesus has felt what you're feeling. Hallelujah. And he found his strength and his courage and his power in the Heavenly Father. In the Heavenly Father. So we're dealing tonight once again with the servant's heart. And it's already been made reference to about being a servant and the different things of a servant's heart. And that's really what I'm going to go through here tonight, is some attributes, some more attributes of a servant's heart. Things that will be seen by the world. Things that will be seen by one another. Things that will... And I trust you realize that a servant's heart is so pleasing to our Heavenly Father. But not only is it pleasing to our Heavenly Father, it leaves a good taste in the mouths of those we encounter. It leaves a good impression. It leaves them desiring and realizing there's something different about their life. You see, this is why I hesitate to say this word, but really it's true. It's so abominable to try to become like the world to win the world. Because if I become like the world, then I basically probably am lost just like the world. But if I become like Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, then there's a ray of hope. There's a light to shine. There's a reality that there is something different that comes from God than anything the world can offer. Oh, hallelujah. See, a lot of times people look at coming out from among the world and being a separate people as something, oh, I have to do that. Oh, no, no, no. You got to understand, that's what it's going to take for the world to be saved. Praise God. If you act just like they do, they have no hope, do they? No, no, no. It's all about becoming that servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, that servant of God, and allowing the Spirit of God, the Word of God, to have its wonderful work in my heart. See, that's what we're dealing with, a servant's heart. A servant's heart, and it was gratitude that was brought up. That's a servant's heart, gratitude. Because gratitude really is the number one thing that is going to keep you pressing forward. It's going to keep you pressing on. It's going to take you through every trial, every temptation, because gratitude is a reality of what God has done for you, and you do not deserve it at all. But because of His love, His grace, and His mercy, He's come to you. He's died for you. He's cleansed you from all your past sin and giving you a newness of life. That's awesome. Praise God. And here's part of what's birthed in us. Once again, we taught on when a servant is born. And then we talked about the Spirit-filled servant. And now we're talking about that servant's heart. In other words, now the heart. You know, it's with the heart man believes to salvation. It's what comes out of the heart that shows forth what God is really doing in our lives, and where we're really at in our walk with God is what comes out of the heart. And so here tonight, to start with, in Luke chapter 17 and verse number 7, he says, "But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he's come in from the field, 'Go and sit down to meat'? And will not rather say unto him, 'Make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink'? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things which were commanded him? I trow not," which means I think not. "So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. and we have done that which is our duty to do. Hallelujah. Once again, Jesus Christ, kind of reflecting off what Jason was sharing to begin with, he's dealing with his disciples that have this big problem with pride. He's dealing with the reality of humility. The unprofitable servant, that's what we're after. In other words, keep rendering our mind frame to stay in humility. And that's what we're after. A servant's heart is a heart of humility, knowing that whatever I do, I am doing it for God. And I'm not doing it to be patted on the back. No, although it's not wrong to pat people on the back. See, because we're not dealing with other people encouraging us. We're dealing with keeping ourselves humble. Hallelujah. And so Jesus is talking to his disciples, trying to get them to understand here in a different way. When you've done everything that God has asked you to do, hallelujah, then just consider yourself an unprofitable servant. What's that mean? That means don't think highly of yourself because you've done what you were supposed to do. I realize sometimes we get excited because we finally accomplished something we're supposed to do and we've never done it before. That's not what it's talking about. It's not talking about praise, rejoicing, and being glad. It's talking about starting to get puffed up and look what I've done. Yeah, look what I've done. Yeah, look what I've done. Surely the Lord will excuse this, and surely the Lord will excuse this. Look what I've done. So, no, that's that. He's talking about keeping the right mind frame of a servant's heart of humility and always realizing that if I have accomplished anything for the kingdom of God, that's what I was supposed to do. That's what I was supposed to do. That's my duty. That's my calling, to please my God and lift up my God and exalt my God. And I don't have to be blessed because I did it. Have you ever tried to get a blessing from God by trying to do something? Think about that just for a moment. Because the reality is, God will bless an unprofitable servant. God will bless the servant. We've just sung about it. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. God will bless those who honor him, serve him, and love him. But we don't bargain with God. We don't barter with God. We don't try to get God to do something by something we've done. We ask. Brother Jason brought it out wonderfully. We ask because he's our Heavenly Father. And he has told us in his word to ask and we shall receive, seek and we shall find. But we're not coming on our own merit. We're not coming on because, well, God, I've did this, and God, I've did this, and I've did this, and I've did this. Now, God, you got to do that. That's not a servant's heart. Doesn't make any difference what I have done. God, would you perform your will in this situation? Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, thy name be glorified, thy name be honored. So it's an unprofitable servant. We never try to bargain with God, barter with God, or make God do something because we've done so many things for him. Hallelujah. If you're doing things for the kingdom of God, that's exactly who you're doing it for. And don't misunderstand me. You will get a reward. But it's the mind frame. It's the heart. Keeping a servant's heart. The motive of why you do it. Are you doing it so you can be seen of men? Then you're not doing it unto the Lord. And you will not get a reward for it. And you will not get a blessing for it. But if you're doing it because you're a servant of the Lord and you love him, then he will bless you beyond all measure. And you will. And you're. It's just like you're not doing it to get the blessing, but because you've done it, you're going to be blessed. That's sometimes hard to wrap our human minds around, but that's the difference between the world and the kingdom of God. And so a servant's heart is a heart of humility. In Luke chapter 6, verses 40 and 41, it says the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, and perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Has anybody yet totally perceived the reality of how easy it is to see other people's faults while not seeing your own? Very simple, very easy thing to do. I mean, it's just not hard. I mean, if you have eyes in your head and you're very observant, you're going to find a fault in somebody. You're going to find, oh, they sleep in church all the time. Don't be offended on that note, but it's just, you can become critical with that. Like you've never slept in church before? Uh-huh. Oh, not me. Oh, look, I got one sleeping right now. I'm not trying to be cruel or mean. I'm just saying, you know, that's fine. I mean, I've told people you'll absorb more if you're asleep than if you're awake. Because if you're awake, sometimes your mind operates and you don't even pay any attention at all. And when you're asleep, your subconscious is hearing what I'm saying, and maybe it'd be absorbed. So go on, sleep on. It doesn't bother me at all. Hallelujah. Praise God. But here it is, you know, because we think it's a beam in somebody else's eye. And Jesus called it a mote and said what's in our eye is the beam. So what I kind of perceive from that, if I'm seeing a beam in somebody's life, it's probably because it's in mine too. And it looks so big in their life because it's so relevant in mine. And so most of the time, whatever I criticize somebody else for is really what I have a problem with personally. So I have found through 39 years of serving Jesus Christ, it doesn't pay to criticize anybody. Because all that's going to get back to me is being criticized. Because you actually reap what you sow. We'll get to that here in a little bit too. But so here we see then, and notice his terminology, the disciple is not above his master. But everyone that is perfect, that's almost sarcasm, if you will. Because what Jesus is saying, if you're going to be perfect, then you're going to have to deal with the beam that's in your eye. And you're going to have to quit worrying about what everybody else is having problems with and start taking care of what you're having a problem with. Praise God. And what it is it's a lack of humility. It's a lack of humility. And so Jesus' response to that is that you need to take care of your own beam, and then you can actually help someone with the same problem. Because you've let God help you. And thus you can help someone in the spirit of humility, in the spirit of meekness, instead of looking down and pointing the finger. Woo! That's rough. Luke 6:45. Here's the key. He's still talking about the same thing. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. A servant's heart. Out of the heart is where things come from. You know, we got to realize, yeah, we can't make excuses for anything that is not really good or right. Because if we do, then we're not going to deal with the root of the problem that's in our heart. Because that's where it came from. See, it don't just come out of here. It comes from inside. And that's why it's got to be dealt with, and that's why we've got to deal with it personally. So a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. But then the other side, an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. So now did you catch that? That it moved from the inside to the outside. And however you speak is what you really are. No matter how good you may try to appear, your words will reveal what your heart really is like. Oh, this is rough. This is hard, you know, because if you're that, you know, we've been dealing with communication, and if you're that browbeater and you like to really put people down low with your tongue, that's evil. That's evil. We don't want to call it evil. We just want to say, well, that's just the way I am. Well, then you're evil. So we've got to accept what God's word tells us. And so if I'm always bad mouth, oh, there's that. Anybody? Oh, surely not. Nobody bad mouths somebody, do you? You know what that means, don't you? That means you're talking bad about them behind their backs. That's called bad mouthing people. That didn't come out of you, did it? Did that come out of you? Well, that's evil. It's not good, is it? And so then we got to deal with that evil that's in our heart. Why would we want to badmouth somebody? Do you want to be badmouthed? No, that's right. So if you don't want to be badmouthed, don't badmouth somebody else. That's God's word. That's how we're supposed to do it. We're supposed to do unto others as we would have them do to us. Isn't that God's word? I didn't make that up. That's God's word. And so we're seeing that humility then keeps my mouth from speaking perverse things. And a perverse thing is anything that's not good. If you don't have anything good to say, then don't say anything at all. Anybody ever heard that? Praise God. Well, that comes from God's word. Praise the Lord. See, and it amazes me. It amazes me how much there is in God's word that talks about our lifestyle and how we conduct our lives. And yet at the same time, there's so many lives that aren't conducted well. Wow. Has anybody read their Bible this week? Has anybody changed your life this week by reading the Bible? We got one over here. Hallelujah. I mean, the reality here, I'm just on humility. This is going to be the hour of power times three. I got to move on here. So I'll move faster through the rest of it, because this was kind of the main emphasis here of humility and the reality of being an unprofitable servant and keeping the right mind frame and the right flow of heart. You got to realize it's not just the mouth that's a problem. It goes deeper than that. That's what the Word of God's telling us here. It's the heart. It's a matter of the heart. It means my heart is not fixed. My heart is not right. And so out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So I got to make sure humility is what I'm in pursuit of very, very hard. Because when I'm born again by the Spirit of God, I am automatically thrust right into humility. Stop and think about it. If you've been saved, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, born again by the Spirit of God, when you come forward and you come up from that experience, you are the most humble person on the face of the earth. Because you are so grateful that God has washed your sins away and God has changed your life and God has heard your prayer. I mean, it's that old song we say, makes me love everybody, makes me love everybody. But where does that go? Because it will leave. If I'm not in pursuit of a servant's heart and being like Jesus Christ, it will leave. It will go away and the old man will rise back up. Mark 6:34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion towards them, because they were a sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. A servant's heart is a heart of compassion. Compassion sometimes is something that evades us. Most of the time, compassion evades us because of our pride. And compassion evades us because we're critical. And we haven't learned to give people room to grow. Oh, I've seen it so many times. In the 39 years as a Christian and following Jesus Christ, I have seen a lot of folks that had no compassion. They just thought, you got to do it. You got to do it this way, and you got to do it now. If you don't, you're out. Not a whole lot of compassion in that, is it? You see, Jesus Christ was not that way. He said when he came out and saw much people, he was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Woo! Hallelujah. Quit being so critical of folks and want to help them learn. Hallelujah. Praise God. Do you realize that if you see a brother stumble, then you have great opportunity to restoration for them and for you? Hallelujah. Because then you can pray for them and help them, encourage them, and see them. And, oh, what are we back to? That ministry of reconciliation that we've all been called to. That's why we got to have a servant's heart. Otherwise, we just want to damn them right on to hell. Woo! Man, aren't you glad for grace? Aren't you glad for mercy? Aren't you glad for kindness? Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ has compassion on you? Realizing that you need to be trained and you need to be taught. Praise God. I need to be trained and I need to be taught. I'm not past my training at all. I have not arrived at any particular destination. Hallelujah. I am growing in the grace and the knowledge of my Lord Jesus Christ. Have been growing for the last 39 years. Hallelujah. Praise God. Still consider myself a teenager in eternity years. Hallelujah. But I've still got room to grow. I've still got things to change. I still want to maintain a servant's heart because it's something you have to maintain. It's not an automatic thing, and it won't just stay there. If you neglect your salvation, you will lose it. If you neglect your servant's heart, you will lose it. And that's why we're teaching and we're preaching on a servant's heart and a heart of compassion, realizing, oh, and especially in the hour we're living in, there's so many people that really don't know anything about God. Even in churches. They don't know anything about God. They know anything about a servant's heart. This is probably strange teaching to a lot of people in a lot of churches. But it's the teaching of God's Word. It's what Jesus taught his disciples. And that's what we are, disciples of Jesus Christ. And so compassion, 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful. Be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing. Don't you want to be a blessing? So I asked you that earlier. But contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. So here we find and understand that if I want blessings from God, then I must become a blessing. But at the same time, I'm not becoming a blessing just to get a blessing. It sounds confusing, but it's humility. God will always reward those of a pure heart, of a pure motive. Hallelujah. If you're trying to get something for nothing, you're not going to get anything. Can I say that again? Praise the Lord. If you're trying to get something for nothing, you're not going to get anything. Hallelujah. But if you will surrender yourself wholly unto the Lord will guide your steps and blessings will be part of your life. How many remember the handfuls on purpose that they dropped for Ruth? And it's all because Ruth was being faithful to Naomi. Ruth was being faithful to her newfound faith in God. And Ruth was just working her fingers to the bone to take care of Naomi. And so Boaz says, you drop some handfuls on purpose. This woman needs a blessing. Whoa. She didn't ask for a blessing. She didn't want to glean in his field. She didn't want anything for free. So she wanted to serve. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So here we are. We've been called to be a blessing. We've been called to, even though we are mistreated, to be a blessing. Now, that one's difficult, isn't it? It's one thing to be a blessing while everybody's being a blessing. But then if someone renders evil and railings unto you, Whoa. Wait till I get my turn. Wrong. That's a carnal mind. That's a fleshly mind. That's not a spiritual mind, and it's not a servant's heart. No, we just continue to bless. We just continue to bless. How many's ever read the scriptures? Not in the notes, but by doing so, by when people are rendering you evil and you still give them, render good to them, the Bible says you're heaping coals on their head. Now, don't start doing it because you're getting excited about heaping coals on their head. See, now you've moved from a servant's heart, and you're taking God's word to your advantage and not as your guidance. And so we see then that we're called to be a blessing, and because we become that blessing, then we will inherit a blessing. Jude 1 and 22. Of some have compassion, making a difference. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So compassion is a servant's heart. It's a heart of compassion. In Galatians 6 and 8, it says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." So here we have the understanding, the principle. And once again, this principle is not so I can try to make God bless me. See, that's something that we've got to fight. I mean, with great fervor. It's not a matter of I'm going to do all this to get a blessing. It's a matter I'm going to do this because Christ has died for me. I mean, if you cannot get joyful and rejoice and praise God when you sing about the old rugged cross and the blood of Jesus Christ, and I'm washed in the blood, if that does not do something for your soul, then you don't have a servant's heart. Because a servant's heart is filled with the reality of, I have been washed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And it is only through His grace and His mercy that my sins have been washed away, and that He keeps me by His power as I keep myself in submission and surrender unto Him. Praise God. And so I don't have any room to brag or boast or expect anything else from God. But yet at the same time, when I render myself wholly into His hands and become His servant, it does not go unnoticed. And Paul's dealing with folks that aren't sowing to the Spirit. They're sowing to their flesh. And he is trying to get them to understand that you are not going to be happy when you stand before God if you don't change your ways. And verse number 9 says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." So, these two scriptures go hand in hand. At first, they don't seem like they do, but really, they do. Because what happens is we'll sow to the Spirit and we'll reap from the Spirit until it doesn't seem like people are paying attention. Or it seems like nobody's responding, or nobody's doing anything. I learned a long time ago, after many, many times of frustration and growing weary in well-doing. When you preach, you are not trying to make people move. When you preach, you are not trying to make anything happen. When you preach, you are sharing a message God's put upon your heart that He wants shared with His people. And then if they will respond to it, they will be blessed. They will be changed. They will be renewed, whatever the message was. But it was not my duty to make anybody receive it. It was my duty to share it. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so perseverance. A servant's heart is a heart of perseverance. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. That covers preaching, teaching, witnessing, reaching to the lost. It's not a matter of getting a response or a reaction. It is a matter of having a servant's heart that I am going to keep reaching. I'm going to keep preaching. I'm going to keep teaching. I'm going to keep doing the will of my master. Hallelujah. Because while Jesus was on the face of the earth, he never stopped doing the work that was set before him. He grew weary in body, but not in spirit. Hallelujah. We'll always grow weary in body. That's not what that's talking about. That's talking about being weary of mind and heart to where we don't want to do anything for God anymore. That's not a servant's heart. A servant's heart is a heart of perseverance. Amen. Because it's linked to the master. Hallelujah. You'll notice all of these character traits and all of these things are linked directly to the master. Hallelujah. Because you can't have a servant without a master. And perseverance is we look at the life of Jesus Christ and we take courage. The next one is Malachi 3:16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord. I like this. And that thought upon him. Do you ever think about God outside of church? Or do you just think of God when you come to church? Well, this here is God listened to those that feared him, and they spake often one to another. And this is the heart of encouragement. The servant's heart is a heart of encouragement. Always wanting to encourage, always wanting to strengthen, always wanting to help someone lay a hold of the truths of the kingdom of God. Always wanting to be kind, always wanting to be courteous, always wanting to help. Wow, praise God. Don't you love it when you find people like that? Hallelujah to the Lamb. Don't you love it when you become one of those people? Praise God. A servant's heart is a heart of encouragement. Speak often one to another. I mean, you got to understand, they feared the Lord. What are they talking about? Well, you can rest assured the Lord is not keeping record of them talking about football, basketball, or anything worldly event of this world. They were talking about God. They were talking about his blessings. They were talking about his love. They were talking about his mercy. They were talking about his holiness. They were talking about all the great things of their God. And God's just listening and loving it. And he loves it so much, he wrote it down in a book. A book of remembrance. Oh, glory to God. Is your book full? The book of remembrance of all the things you talk about God? You realize God's keeping a record of everything you say, don't you? We forget that sometimes, don't we? Yeah, we need to think about that next time we want to rail somebody. God's writing that down word for word, just how you said it. You know, a lot of times they say, oh, I didn't say that. Well, God said, yes, you did. I've got it on record. Oh, God of heaven, a servant's heart is a heart of encouragement. Acts chapter 11, verse 23, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. This is Barnabas. Hallelujah. And he came to where God was moving, and he just fell right in there and began to rejoice and began to encourage the saints of God for a deeper, closer walk with the Lord, to cleave unto the Lord, not to depart from their newly found faith back into the worldly ways, but to cleave unto the Lord and allow righteousness to begin to be exercised in their lives. Because he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Barnabas had a servant's heart. The son of consolation, hallelujah, he had a servant's heart. Some come by it easier than others, but we all must obtain it. A servant's heart. Praise God. Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for for ye serve the Lord Christ. A servant's heart is a heart of passion. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord. See, we're not doing it for men. We're doing it for Jesus. We're doing it for our God. Hallelujah. And it's not wrong to know that you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. In other words, the promises of God. For ye serve the Lord Christ. But we've got to also understand, if we're lacking passion, we're lacking heartiness. If we're just going through the motions because it's expected of us to do, then we're lacking passion. Hallelujah. If we're just lifting our hands because everybody's lifting their hands, then we're lacking passion. You see, if we're just doing what everybody else is doing because everybody else is doing it, we're lacking passion. Hallelujah. But a servant's heart is a heart of passion. Whatever we do, we're doing it heartily unto the Lord. Whether it's worship, whether it's work, whether it's service. Hallelujah. Whether it's witnessing. Hallelujah. Whether it's just being that light to shine, living for Jesus. We're doing it with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our strength, all of our mind, which is the very first commandment of God. Hallelujah to the King. And so we see then passion is a very important part of our Christian life. For when we lose that passion, once again, it's the book of Revelation, the church at Ephesus. The one thing, thou hast lost thy first love. The passion to serve God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to the King. I can remember very, very vividly, not very long after I had gotten saved, still just rejoicing and walking in that newness of life, and down at an altar of prayer in a Sunday service at Victory Temple there, just praying, good service, hadn't been filled with the Holy Ghost yet. But the Lord just spoke to my heart, just plain as day. I could just, like, he was talking to me personally. Can you imagine that? God talking to me personally? Because it was a new thing to me. And he just simply said, will you follow me or will you go back to where I brought you from? I mean, I was just like, I was devastated. I began to weep. I began to cry. And I said, Lord, why would I go back to where you brought me from? This is what I have been looking for all my life. I was only 23 years old. I said, no, Lord, I'm not going back. I'm following you. What was that? Passion. Passion. That newness of life and pursuing on and serving God heartily. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men. Praise God. Philippians 3:20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. A servant's heart is a heart of allegiance. Hallelujah. That word conversation means my lifestyle or my citizenship. Hallelujah. I'm a citizen of heaven and I love it. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm a citizen of the United States of America and I love that too. But I am so glad, and I pledge my allegiance to the Lamb of God far, far above. I pledge my allegiance to the United States of America. Now in school, we do a pledge to the Bible. We do a pledge to the Christian flag, and we do a pledge to the American flag, because that's where we pledge our allegiance. As Christians, followers of Christ, we pledge our allegiance to the Bible, to hide it in our hearts that we might not sin against God. We pledge allegiance to the Christian flag that represents Jesus Christ, our Savior, our soon coming Lord. Hallelujah. And we pledge allegiance to the United States of America flag, because we're in a land still right now of freedom. I mean, it's different now than it's ever been, but we still have the freedom. We're still here tonight in freedom, worshiping God, praising God, and learning about God's kingdom and God's word. Hallelujah. So allegiance is the reality that I don't just belong here. I belong just over there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just over there in heaven. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm an ambassador of Christ. My conversation is in heaven. My lifestyle is from heaven. I'm pledging my allegiance to live for my God, not for myself. I'm living for my God. Colossians 3 and 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Hallelujah. In other words, my allegiance belongs to the risen Savior, because he has birthed in me newness of life. He has washed away my sins. My affections, my desires are on things above. Hallelujah. And I don't live for just things of this earth. Doesn't mean you can't have things here on this earth. Doesn't mean you can't have a home, a car, a job. No. It's talking about where your heart is. Do you just live for here? That's kind of miserable. There ain't a whole lot in this world that I'm really crazy about anymore. But, oh, let me tell you about heaven. Let me tell you about my King. Let me tell you about his love. Let me tell you about his mercy. Let me tell you about his grace. Let me tell you about his power. Hallelujah. My King is known by mercy. My King is known by his love. Hallelujah. I love that song. Praise God. It's just a reality. My allegiance is to my God. And I will serve him. And I will follow him. Praise God. And the last one here tonight, it is a heart of fortitude. Or a heart of courage. Hallelujah. You see, because when you start pledging your allegiance to Jesus Christ, that's when persecution will probably start. That's when people will probably start mocking you. Why? Well, because your life's going to start changing. You ain't going to be like them anymore. You just ain't going to be like them. I didn't have to forsake the world after I got saved. The world forsook me. They got tired of hearing about Jesus. They got tired of me talking about church services. They got tired of talking about how much God was changing my life. That they just didn't want any part of the Jesus I found. And they just kind of faded away. Hallelujah. And then there was the children of God that just kind of filled the void. Praise the Lord. Amen. Fortitude. It says, with the heart of fortitude or courage, we overcome our fear and are willing to take risk as a follower of Jesus Christ. A person with courage is willing to stand up for what is right in the sight of God, even if it means accepting rejection, verbal abuse, or even physical harm and death. Spiritual fortitude refers to one's ability to draw consistently on spiritual resources to transcend and endure negative emotions in the face of stressors. I thought that terminology was different. Someone who stresses you out. But spiritual fortitude, to draw consistently on spiritual resources, to transcend, in other words, go through and endure all those negative emotions. Do you understand what a negative emotion is? A negative emotion is anger. Oh, here's mine. Frustration. Yeah. Negative emotions. Got to realize emotions were created for worship, not fear, not discouragement, not depression. Emotions were created by God for worship. And so then spiritual fortitude means we start drawing consistently on the spiritual resources. It's not a matter if you feel discouraged, if you feel depressed. It's not saying you're not going to feel it. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to stand here and say you should never have that feeling. No. You're going to have that feeling. I mean, if you're going to serve Jesus Christ and you're going to be striving for a servant's heart, the enemy's going to have every fiery dart he can find to throw at you, trying to figure out what he can do to discourage you, depress you, and get you down. Amen. But I'm going to start drawing on my spiritual resources. The power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Word of God, renewing my mind, setting my mind straight, and standing firm on what thus saith the Lord and not what I feel. No matter how the enemy may try, I'm going to endure negative emotions in the face of the stressors. Whatever it is that stresses me out, I'm going to find strength from my God. Hallelujah. So a servant's heart is a heart of courage, because courage comes from above. Allegiance comes from above. Passion comes from above. Encouragement comes from above. Perseverance comes from above. Compassion comes from above. Humility comes from above. Everything about a servant's heart comes from God. It's not anything that I have generated. It's not anything I have accomplished. It is everything that I have surrendered to Jesus Christ. And that's why it comes from above. Because I have surrendered and crucified myself so that Jesus Christ can live his life in me, in you. That's what a servant's heart is all about. The book of Esther and the story of Esther is a perfect example of fortitude. And Esther, you know, in Esther 4 and 16 says, go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan. Fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. Praise God. Fortitude. Courage. She knew she was going to have to do something that could cost her life to save her people. And she said, if I perish, I perish. But I'm going, and I'm going to do this. 1 Corinthians 6:13, and we'll close tonight. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. That terminology means just grow up. Grow up. Quit being immature. Amen? Be strong. Play the man. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. What's that mean? That means make sure your faith is established and strong in your relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. That your faith cannot be shaken because you have such a relationship with the Son of God. It can't be shaken. You see, faith is only shaken when your relationship is not strong with Jesus Christ. If you're just kind of trying to live for Jesus on the side, then your faith is going to be shaken all the time. You're going to be shaken all the time. You really are not striving for a servant's heart if you just want Jesus when everything's happy or you need something from him. A servant's heart, whether it's good, whether it's bad, whatever comes my way, I'm going to rejoice in my God because I'm his. I'm his, he's mine. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm redeemed by love divine. All to him I now resign. Hallelujah. What is that? That's a servant's heart. That's a servant's heart. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Could we stand together tonight? Praise be to our God. Praise be to our God. It's a heart of humility. It's a heart of compassion. It's a heart of perseverance. It's a heart of encouragement. It's a heart of passion. It's a heart of allegiance. And it's a heart of fortitude, courage. Hallelujah. We're living in a day and hour where it's going to be a must. And really, it's always a must. But, I mean, we're moving into dark times. I don't know whether you remember or not, but the Holy Ghost has spoke multitudes of times in the last few years. Darkness is coming on the land. Church, it's coming on the land. From the highest positions in America, darkness is coming on the land. Their desires are not godly. They're not really looking out for the people of America. They've got an agenda. Darkness is coming on the land. And the only thing that's going to bring any render or ray of hope is a man or a woman with a servant's heart, who will always put their own desires aside so that God can be lifted up, God can be exalted, God can be seen as the ray of hope, God can be seen as the one that will wash away sin and give newness of life. Hallelujah. It's going to take perseverance. I don't know whether you've noticed it or not, but God is not on the mind frame of people in this world. There's a lot of times really no thought of God and who He really is. They have preconceived and erroneous thoughts about God. Most of them are all based on some type of selfishness and what they want God to be instead of who God is. And what they need to encounter their life is a man or a woman with a servant's heart. It's filled with humility, filled with compassion. Hallelujah. Filled with encouragement. Praise be to our God. Hallelujah. God's building an army. That army is a group of men and women with servants' hearts. Because that's what a soldier is. A soldier is just another word for a servant who's willing to go at command. Praise be to our God. Hallelujah. Could we come around the altars? Find us a place to pray. And let's close this service tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, just reminiscing on what God has done this Lord's Day. How He has spoken to us this Lord's Day. And surrendering ourselves wholly to the will of God this Lord's Day.